Very well-known, famous story, probably for everyone. It's a two traveler coming from Jerusalem to Emmaus. On the road, something happens to them. I just wanted to look at this story and look at what Jesus is doing in this story and trying to learn four simple missionary lessons from Jesus. Well, when we read this passage, we often pay our attention to the last part of the story, which is about reading out of Scripture and breaking the bread. And we are fascinated by this part of the story. And the text is clearly saying that in this they recognize Jesus. But I also wanted to expand our understanding of the story. Just look to what Jesus did before that part. And I believe that they recognize him not only in breaking the bread and reading in a fresh way the Scripture, but also in the pattern of his ministry. If you are looking very attentively to this story, you will find that this story has a very deep structure within it. You can see the beginning of the story, which starts with sadness, with disappointment, with closed eyes, with people leaving Jerusalem. And you look to the end of the story, you'll find a completely different picture. You'll find the people full of joy, full of hope, open eyes, and people are returning back to Jerusalem. And now I'm wondering, what did Jesus do to make this happen? How he was able to convert and to turn those who has the sadness to a joy. Those who've been disappointed, receiving a great hope. Those whose eyes been closed, now eyes are open. And those who are leaving Jerusalem, now returning back to Jerusalem. What did Jesus do in this regards? And I just wanted to pay your attention to four simple missionary lessons from Jesus. Let's read this passage together. Luke 24, verse 13-35. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that has happened. As they talk and discuss these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the thing that has happened this day in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is a sure day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that prophet has spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' In the beginning, with Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's a nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. Well, we know that Luke wrote the Gospel of the Luke and also the book of Acts. And we are reading the Gospel of Luke very attentive. We know that the theme of eye is very important for the Luke. It actually starting from the eyewitness. Luke is starting his Gospel with him being an eyewitness of the what has happened to Jesus. Well, the book of Acts, the key word for there is witness. So how we are turning from being an eyewitness to a witness, and we have a key chapter 24, which says to us how you're turning from the being an eyewitness to a witness. You have to encounter the living Lord. Moreover, what you have in this chapter, in chapter 24, you have in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. We have angels, we have women, we have a fear, we have angelic speeches, and we have a temple. Everything in the beginning of Luke, chapter 1, and chapter 2 in particular, we will find here in Luke chapter 24. Moreover, if you're paying very attention to the text, what is happening above our text, which is Luke 24, beginning, we have a different reaction of the people to the empty tomb. It's Easter morning, and we have a chapter 23, which ends with the woman being a witness how Jesus had been buried in a tomb, and it was the Friday, they stayed on Saturday, on a Sunday, it is how the chapter starts. Luke 24 starts with a woman coming to an empty tomb, and we have a different reaction of the people to empty tomb. Some of them are wandering around, some of them perplexed, some of them doesn't know what is happening around, there's no common agreement, so there's a different reaction of the people to the empty tomb. All of them saw themselves how Jesus being crucified. All of them saw, and the author is very clear that no one expects him to be alive again. And we have a different reaction of the people to the empty tomb. There's no common agreement right now among the apostles and disciples to what has happened. Someone is saying they saw something, a supernatural element, an angelic vision, but we usually don't trust him. Someone is wandering around, someone having disbelief, someone have doubts. There's no common agreement about the apostles, and we have our passage. Starts with the words with the verse 13. Now the same day, on the same day of the Easter morning, with no common agreement among the apostles, where someone is wandering around what has happened. Someone is perplexed. Someone has doubts, someone has the beliefs. Two of those disciples who are wandering around and doesn't know what has happened. Two of them, we don't know their name, we not only know the name of one, it's Cleopas. We will further find out that his name is Cleopas. We don't know who was the one traveling with Cleopas. Perhaps it was his wife, perhaps someone else, so we don't know who is the second companion traveling from Jerusalem. And we don't know the reason why they are left into Jerusalem. Why the people are going back to their house. Probably this is their house, and they're returning back home. They've been on a Passover festival, and now maybe they're returning back. So we don't know the reason why the people are leaving, and we don't know who are these the second companion traveling with Cleopas. All we know is that the same day that all people have a different reaction to empty tomb. People are wandering around, people are having disbelief, doubts, confusion, uncertainty, disagreement among the disciples, and two of them out of this group traveling to Emmaus. And I'd like to pay to the first missionary lessons from Jesus we find in this story. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles, which is about 11, 12 kilometers, which is about 3-4 hours walk from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that has happened. And next verse, as they talked and discussed, in Greek they've been debating one another. Because there's no agreement about them, what has happened. We saw him dead, and now the tomb is empty, and no one knows what has happened. So they are going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were walking, talking with one another, debating one another about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed this thing with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. And I think it's a very brilliant lesson from Jesus' openness. He was able to come and to join them and walk with them. Well, to be open, you have to be transparent. And when I was reading this passage, I was surprised that Jesus is not in rush in opening himself. He takes time. He's not in rush to expose himself, to make him recognized, to make him known to them. He comes alongside and walks with them. And I think it's a brilliant message from Jesus as we talk about the mission, how open we are. Jesus didn't stay at the other side of the road saying, "Hey guys, I'm Jesus. Let's return back to Jerusalem. You are going to the right direction." He comes alongside and walk with them, sharing the journey with them. And it was a daily ordained walk, nothing special. But Jesus was open to them, and he came along and walked to them. And that's a very brilliant lesson from Jesus when it comes to openness. How open we are as a community of people. When it comes to the mission, how close we to the people. Are we sharing their life together? He came along and walked with them. He didn't stay at the other side of the road, and he even didn't want to change their destination. These people have been leaving from Jerusalem, traveling to Emmaus, but Jesus is coming alongside and walk with them. And I think this is a very brilliant message from Jesus, openness and transparency. But to be open, you have to have a certain integrity. And Jesus is coming alongside of the people and walking with them. Are we really interested in the life of the people? Do we really care for them? And this openness attitude that Jesus is teaching us in this passage when it comes to mission. He comes nearby and walks with the people. Let's look at the next lesson. It's verse 15 and 17. As they talk and discuss these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the thing that has happened these days?" What things, he asked. And I think this is another brilliant lesson from Jesus, attentive listening. Jesus comes to them, and probably he's the only one who knows what has happened, but yet he was able to listen. Are we able to listen when it comes to the mission? We often think when we do mission, we need to do the talk. When we think about mission, we think that this is we who need to do the talk, but Jesus is doing completely opposite. He's coming and he was able to listen. Moreover, I would like to pay your attention to the verse 17, last part of the world. They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the thing that has happened there in these days?" What things, he asked. Look how Jesus is very attentive to the emotional part of those people. What things? Tell me more, in other words. I'm here to listen. All your doubts, all your disbeliefs, all your uncertainty, all your disappointments, I am here to listen. Tell me more what things. He engaged in the conversation in such a way that gives the space for people to talk. And I think it's a brilliant message for mission, from Jesus when it comes to mission. Are we able to listen when it comes to the mission? Do the people really trust us? Would they be able to share everything that is in their heart with us? And Jesus comes and he is not in a rush to open himself. Jesus, why are you doing that? Why are you spending time? Just tell them who you are and bring them back to Jerusalem. By the way, staying in Jerusalem is an important theme in Luke. You'll find this in the book of Acts. Staying in Jerusalem is an important theme. But these people are leaving Jerusalem, and Jesus even didn't want to change their direction. Are we able to listen when it comes to mission? All the burdens, all the problems, all the disbeliefs, all the doubts, all the disappointments of the people. I know even for me, it's even hard when it comes to mission. Because instantly I'm thinking about telling someone, bringing him to the church, sharing the gospel. But what is Jesus doing this? He's not in rush even. And he's able to spend the time with people, just being alongside of them and just listening to them. And I think it's a great missionary lesson from Jesus. Let's look at the third one. He teaches us to rely on the scripture. It's 25 and 27. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And the beginning with Moses on all the prophet," he explains to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. Well, we don't know what the passage Jesus read in this passage. Probably he was reading the book of Isaiah, probably some of the Psalms. But look what is happening here. What is important here is from what perspective is Jesus reading this text. It's also important, the key word is here, the whole scripture. Starting from Moses, beginning with Moses and all the prophet, he explains to them what was said to him, and look what we have later on. They ask each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road?" He opened the scripture to them, and the scripture put the fire, the way Jesus started to read the scripture to them in a very fresh way, brought the fire to the hearts of these people. Are we really trusting the Word of God, that the Word of God has the power to change the life of the people? He teaches us to rely on the scripture. Well, it was hard to them to imagine because they had a certain messianic expectation. A Messiah needs to be a militaristic, victorious conqueror who will help us to get rid of the Romans and build a peace in Jerusalem. But now that expectation is crushed. Because the one that we hoped been crucified. And they were not able to bring to connect the suffering and messianship. And in order this connection happen, there is a need for revelation. There is a need for supernatural element. There is a need for the scripture. And Jesus is doing the saying that what has happened to me written in the scripture. In order to understand what has happened to me, you have to look back to the scripture. And vice versa, in order to understand the scripture, you have to look at me. What a powerful lesson from Jesus. What we are relying on when it comes to the mission. Our own strategies, our own tactics, our own ability to speak, communications, what we are relying on. Do we really believe that the God's words has the power to change the life of the people and to bring this connection in their mind? All these previous events was not enough. Even the supernatural element of the angels. And he's bringing back them to the scripture, showing that everything that has happened to him was written in the scripture. And in order to understand everything that happened to him, his death, crucifixion, and his resurrection, you have to look back to the scripture to find it. And in order to understand the scripture, you have to look at him. What a fresh perspective Jesus is bringing to these people. And the way Jesus did it, we have a reaction of these people. They're saying, didn't our hearts burn when he told all of this story? What we are relying on when it comes to the mission? I can tell you a dozen of stories how the people came to Christ just reading the Bible. No human intervenes. No one was involved. Do we really believe that God's word has the power to transform and change the life of the people? Are we relying on that? Jesus is teaching us to rely on the scripture. This is the third lesson that Jesus is teaching us in this story. Let's look at the last one. I like this most. It's verse 28, and it's about hospitality. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. And what we have else? But they urged him strongly. I don't know how for you, but for me this text is very clear. Because in Uzbekistan and in the East in general, you have to say three times no before someone inviting you to come to the house. Well, in the West, probably communication is direct. Yes means yes, no means no. In the East, you have to guess what is happening here. Jesus is making as he wants to go further, giving them some space for practice hospitality. And they're urging him and he agrees and comes and they're having a fellowship together. And this is one of the important lessons from Jesus' hospitality. Are we hospitable now? Are we able to open our hearts to share what we have with the people? Well, there's a big debate among the theologians and the biblical scholars on what is happening in the text, whether it's a table fellowship or it's a Lord's Supper, because the text is not clear. And the wording that we have, by the way, he took bread, he prayed and gave thanks and gave to the people, are the same wording that in Luke 24 too, which is about the Lord's Supper. But also the same wording in Luke 9, which is about feeding 5,000. I'm more inclined to think that this is the just table fellowship for a couple of the reasons. Well, even though, I don't know, maybe I'd be wrong, but it seems to me that the text is saying about the table fellowship, maybe about both sides at the same time, but we have the resurrection appearance of Jesus and Luke, everything related to the food. We even have a second appearance in this chapter later on, and it will be food as well. There will be broiled fish. And we know, particularly for the Luke, dining is important. You know, almost in every chapter, Jesus is eating with someone. He's dining with someone. Sinners, disciples, Pharisees, you name it. He's dining with people almost in every chapter. And this is the greatest lesson from Jesus. Are we hospitable now? When did we last time open our house for the people around? When we last time invited the people just to share the food with them? Well, in order to open your house, you have to be open yourself. We're coming back to the first lesson from Jesus. When the last time we really invited someone to come and have food together, serve them the food, share them? And I think it's a brilliant message from Jesus. Well, let's repeat all the messages, lessons from Jesus that Jesus taught, teach us in this passage. Number one is openness. Coming alongside of the people. Not interested in only in sharing the gospel, but sharing the life with them. Sharing their journey, their struggles, their concerns. Number two, listening. Are we able to listen? Are we really care of what is happening in the life of the people? Number three, are we really relying on the scripture when it comes to the mission? Maybe we're relying on something else. And number four is hospitality. Are we hospitable enough when it comes to mission? And the good news is that you do not need a PhD to practice all of this. You do not need a PhD in mission to do this stuff. It's very simple. Just be with people. Walk alongside. Listen to them. Share your food with them. Share time with them. And when it's needed, when it's relevant, bring the word of God to them. That is very simple lessons from Jesus that everyone can do. You don't have to be a professional cross-cultural ministry. You don't have to be a professional cross-cultural missionary to do this stuff. Everyone is called to participate in God's mission. But we are called not only to participate, but to participate in the Christ way, the way He did it Himself. And may the Lord bless us all in that. Amen.